لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. All praises due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we seek His forgiveness, and we seek refuge and protection in Allah from the evil of ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah allows to go astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship and obedience except Allah. He's alone without any partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to raise the rank of our beloved messenger Muhammad, to raise his mention, and to bless him, to have mercy on him, and upon his family, and all those who follow his guidance to the last day. You know, we had a conference in the weekend that I spoke about last week, and a few of the brothers here, alhamdulillah, were able to attend, so I was very happy to see them there. So what I wanted to do is give you a kind of debrief you, give you some of the points of benefit from the conference. Alhamdulillah, about 1,700 Muslims were there from all over. Some people came as far as Arizona, and others came from Northern California, some from San Diego, and all over the greater Los Angeles area. So it was great, first of all, to see so many Muslims. Alhamdulillah, it's refreshing. As other people were celebrating by getting drunk and intoxicated and wasting themselves, alhamdulillah, the Muslims were there celebrating the praises of their Lord, benefiting from people who have knowledge of Islam, trying to reflect upon the Quran and to get the true qualities of success. As I told you last week, the theme of the conference was "Successful Indeed Are the Believers," which is Surah number 23, Suratul Mu'minun, the surah that is titled "The Believers." So the first 11 verses in the surah actually gives a description of these people, gives some of their characteristics. So what happened was the program was divided accordingly, with each one of the speakers speaking about one of the topics, because the ayat are speaking about six different things, if not more, as we discussed last week. So each one of the speakers would take one of the topics and would expound upon it. So one of the topics was salah and its relationship with success. And one of the topics was idle talk and how we can protect ourselves from that and why that is a cause for us to be successful. One was zakah, giving the charity. One was chastity, keeping your modesty and not indulging in illicit relationships and forbidden relationships. And also those who keep their trusts and their promises. And again, a reminder in the end, those who constantly remain steadfast on performing their salah. And then of course Allah Azza wa Jal describes that these people will inherit paradise and stay therein forever. In fact, it was a great experience, like I said, generally. Alhamdulillah, a lot of the young brothers and sisters were volunteering and taking care of, you know, the guests. And I didn't hear any complaints personally. I enjoyed it, alhamdulillah. I wish there is more programs like that, that more people can benefit from, and you know, where the believers can come together and share, you know, some of the beauties of their religion. Something that struck me in the conference, and as we read the verses, Allah Azza wa Jal starts the verses off by saying, "Qad aflaha al-mu'minun." Indeed, the believers, those who have belief, are successful. They already have gained success. And then he goes on to give some of their descriptions. Now, I don't recall in the conference that they spoke about the definition of belief. What are we talking about? We just say believers. But how many of us actually wonder, what is this? So you believe in something. What is it that you believe in exactly? I mean, you can believe in a lot of things. Some people believe in fairy tales. Some people believe in lies. Some people believe in false religions. But so what is this? What is this type of believer? Because you hear this all the time. People use this word sometimes loosely. They say, we're all believers. Well, believers are different categories. The belief that Allah Azza wa Jalla is describing here is the correct belief. First and foremost, the belief in Allah Azza wa Jalla Himself. So you might say, well, what does that mean? Why would people differ on belief in Allah? Well, belief in Allah entails more than one thing. Some people can say, well, I believe Allah exists. And that's as far as their belief goes. They actually believe there is something, somewhere, called Allah. Some will give Him another name, the Creator, you know, they'll give Him different descriptions, and they say, we believe in His existence. Is that sufficient for belief? Is a question. To be convinced, I say, I'm convinced there is a God. There's no doubt about it. Is that sufficient? Not quite. It's not fully sufficient. That's just part of belief. So we must believe that a Creator exists. That's a given. You must do that. But then some will say, well, I believe not only does He exist, but He has some qualities as well. He's the Creator. He's the Provider. He's the Sustainer. He's the one that brought everything into existence. And so forth. So they have some of His descriptions. Is that sufficient in belief? Not completely. But it is a very important aspect. So we believe that He exists. And then we believe in His actions. Now, Allah Azza wa Jal sent revelation down to describe to us some of His actions, what He does. Because some people might not be fully aware of the actions and the attributes of Allah. So they're just confused. They're like, well, we know there's something somewhere who does A, B, and C. But they don't really have, you know, concrete evidence to prove what they're saying. So that's another aspect, to believe that Allah Azza wa Jal is the Creator and that there is no other Creator but Him. That's very important. To believe that He is the Provider and that there is no other Provider but Him. To believe that He's the one who controls everything. To believe that He's the only one who has rights to legislate, to give rules and regulations for the ones who He created. And that's a huge aspect. This is part of Allah's characteristics, by the way. Part of who He is, part of His actions. But most people seem to deny this or to ignore it. That if you truly believe that there is a Creator, you must also believe that this Creator is the only one who has a say in His creation. So you can't say, well, I think, you know, people should do this or people should do that. No, that's already it's already taken care of. Allah who created has already decided what needs to be done. Now, to finalize and to perfect this belief comes the last part, the last section of belief, which is to believe that only He deserves to be praised, only He deserves to be intended with all types of devotion, with all types of love, with all types of worship. And that's the last part. Now that is called the actions of the servants. So we said He exists, He has certain actions. But due to the fact that He does exist, and due to the fact that He is who He is, He deserves His creation to offer Him something. To offer Him worship and praise and devotion, and to offer that to no one else but Him. That's the concept of belief. It's kind of summarized very shortly. We can spend hours on this concept. Also, we know that iman, the word iman, which is truly just to believe, like, if you believe something, you would be doing the action of iman. But iman in Islamic language, in Islamic terminology, carries more specific meanings. So now, you must believe in Allah, number one. And we already said, in His existence, in His actions, and in the actions that He deserves. Which is worship for Him and Him alone. And you're aware of the six pillars of iman, arkanul iman. Which are to believe in Allah and His angels and His messengers and His books, right? in the final day, and to believe that everything happens through the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. So, in order for you to be considered a believer, you must believe in these six things. So if you don't, and belief in Islam, like we said, is not just about conviction. Someone would say, you know, I'm convinced, I have no doubt about this, it's true. Islam is not about conviction, it's about submission. So it's not enough to have the right concepts. Because we have a lot of professors, especially here in this country, you know, they specialize in Islamic sciences. He has a PhD in Islam. But he has no submission whatsoever. He has the concepts. He will give you a lecture, he can come and give a khutbah here, and he will make all the khatibs you've ever seen in your life look like amateurs. And make them look very small in their knowledge. But that individual, unfortunately, has not submitted. He did not decide to put the information he has into practice. So conviction is not enough. You must be convinced. You should not have any doubt. But on top of that, you must submit. You must act upon your convictions. That's what makes iman, in the Islamic sense, so great and so wonderful. So it's not just faith, which is blind. You know, I just believe. And that's it. That's as far as it goes. No, you believe. You have proof for why you believe. And your actions all depict this belief. So when someone sees a believer and sees the characteristics that Allah described, he's like, wow, he's doing all these things because he actually believes. So that's one thing I wanted to share with us all. Just to remind us that the attributes that were given here, the characteristics, they are humble in their prayers. That's an action. It must be built on correct belief. So for example, someone can come from the street right now and say, well, you know what, I want to do what you guys are doing. You're praying, right? We're like, yeah, we're praying. But he believes that, you know, that a rock actually can bring him benefit and harm. Or he believes that God has a son or a daughter. Or he believes weird beliefs. This prayer, even if he has khushu' in it, as is described here, does not benefit him. So these actions that we said must be built on that correct belief. So we have to take it by priorities. So correcting our beliefs, if we have some misconceptions, if others have misconceptions, we should clear those out. So Allah Azza wa Jal does not have a son, does not have a daughter, He does not compare to His creation, He's nothing that we can imagine. He has certain characteristics and certain actions, there's no doubt about that. The way we know them is through revelation. And then after this correct belief, you bring these actions about, inshaAllah ta'ala. I wanted to read the work of one of the scholars, which is a brief commentary on these ayat, inshaAllah. And then we'll wrap it up. I really just wanted to remind everyone who wasn't able to attend for 12 hours. People sat on chairs for 12 hours, you know, from 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. There was some breaks in between, but there's a lot of sitting taking place and a lot of listening and a lot of activities. So I'll read the ayat, inshaAllah ta'ala, and then we'll have translation and commentary also, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون. Reflecting, inshallah, and just so we're aware of what happens when a group of believers, the Prophet ﷺ says, come together in one of the houses of Allah, reciting the book of Allah, studying the book of Allah and the verses of Allah amongst each other, special and amazing things take place. The mercy of Allah descends upon them, the angels of Allah surround them, tranquility overtakes them, and Allah Azza wa Jal remembers them in a better company, in the highest, you know, of heavens. So reflecting that whenever we get a chance, we have an opportunity to study the Qur'an, we should rush towards it. Whether it's individually or in congregation. Whether it's in your household or in one of the masajid. Take advantage of the opportunity. Sit down, read some book, some words from Allah's book, and read some of the translation in a word, in a language of your choice. As long as the translation of the meanings is correct, inshaAllah ta'ala. So we start, whenever we recite the book of Allah, by seeking protection in Allah from the devil, the accursed devil, the one who was rejected from the mercy of Allah due to his disobedience. Whenever we start reading the Qur'an, we should do this. Then we begin in the name of Allah, the one who is the most gracious and the one who is full of mercy. The merciful, the most merciful. For sure the believers have succeeded. Almost as if it's in the past tense. This is a guarantee. It's taken place already. They are already successful. Which means, well, why do they have to do anything? Well, once you have become a believer, you realize that success is with you. Constantly. They who are during their prayers, they are humbly submissive. And they who turn away from ill speech, and they who are observant of zakah, and they who guard their private parts, except from their spouses, or those that they can have lawful relations with, they will not be blamed for having relations with the ones that are lawful to them. But whoever seeks beyond that, then those are the transgressors, and they, meaning the successful believers, are the ones who are true to their trusts and their promises, and they keep them. And they who carefully maintain their prayers, those are the inheritors who will inherit al-Firdaus, which is the highest part of paradise, and they will abide therein eternally, forever. One of the scholars says, after he starts with this intro of the surah, it's just the first 11 ayat. He says, this is Allah Azza wa Jal mentioning and praising His believing servants. He mentions their success and He mentions their happiness. And He mentions the reason why they achieved that. Included in this is an indirect admonition, an indirect calling, an indirect call to have these characteristics. And it's encouraging us all, whenever we hear these verses, to have these characteristics and to be amongst these people. And this way, each one of us can weigh himself and can weigh others. This becomes the standard. This becomes the balance. This becomes the scale. So, when are you a believer? Well, let's see. Do you fulfill these characteristics? Is such and such a believer? Let's see. Does he or she fulfill these characteristics? This will make it known what we have and what others have, whether it be belief, increasing or decreasing. Allah Azza wa Jal says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, meaning, they have won, they have achieved happiness, and they have succeeded, and they have gotten everything that they ever wished for. Who are they? These are the believers that believe in Allah correctly, and they believed in what the messengers brought. Because that is part of Iman. One of their perfect attributes is that they are fi salatihim khashi'un. They have this khushu'. We hear this word all the time. Khushu' in salah. What does it really mean? So he says, khushu' in salah, this submissive humbleness in salah, is when your heart is present. And you actually recognize that you are standing right in front of Allah. You recognize how close Allah is to you. And when you have this recognition, your heart feels at ease. All the troubles outside, you forget about them. If you truly have khushu'. If you're not just going through the motions. If you're not doing a superficial act of worship. If you enter into salah, and when you want to judge yourself, do I have khushu' or not? Don't let anyone else judge you. Because somebody might look, and everybody looks at him, and he's crying. And he's looking like he's in another planet. But his heart is cursing everyone around him. And his family is not happy with him. And his neighbors are very disappointed in him. His co-workers think he's a cheater. You know, everyone that sees him feels he's a fraud. But when you look at him, he's... So it's really a matter of the heart. That only you and the one who made your heart recognizes. No one else can judge if you have khushu' or not. And you should not judge anyone else and say, MashaAllah, Brother Ahmed, he's so great. He has khushu'. He came from Medina. He's flying on thin air. You don't know that. You don't know what's in this brother's heart. So we judge ourselves. And Allah is the ultimate judge. So let's put ourselves to the test here. His soul is comfortable. It has a state of tranquility that causes his motions, causes him to be motionless in salah. And it makes him not look around. Or if he is looking around for some reason, which is important, then he's not constantly looking around. He's not like a radar, you know, he's whatever moves, he's just going to go catch it. He has the ultimate manners in front of his creator, in front of his master, in front of his Rabb, who gave him everything that he has. He also recognizes every single statement that he says in salah, and every single action. And this brings us to another thing. How many of us truly understand what we say in salah? Most Muslims are not speakers of the Arabic language. And most Arabs do not speak Quranic Arabic anyway. So how many of us recognize what we are saying in salah? Excuse me. How many of us recognize why we do the certain actions that we do in salah? Again, this is an encouragement for all of us to look into these things. Not to be superficial in our worship. And I want to give you good news. Inshallah, I heard that soon a class is going to come. One of the scholars, his name is Mawlana Abdul Nasir Jangda from Dallas. He will come, I believe, to Masjid Reseda, which is in the valley. And he will hold a class called Meaningful Prayer. A beautiful title. Meaningful Prayer. How to make your prayer meaningful. How do you make your salah meaningful? By understanding the meanings of the statements that you're saying. So the whole course is dedicated for this particular aspect. So be on the lookout for this course. Soon, Reseda Masjid, Islamic Center of Reseda, coming to a masjid near you. Very soon. Now, the reason I'm saying this, the reason I mentioned the conference last week, and you notice me whenever I'm around, I find out about an event, I encourage you to go. Last week, one of our brothers, Brother Zahid. Who knows Zahid? The brother from Azerbaijan. You know Zahid. Jazakallah khair. May Allah bless you. So the brother, he came to the conference. He was moved. I saw him in the crowd. He was exiting. So I went and ran after him. So I went and shook his hand. I'm like, how are you doing? He's like, this is different. This is great. I want to do this more often. I said, well, whenever I tell you something, just be there. He's like, how do I spend time with these good people? I said, just make it. So that's why we encourage you whenever there is an event or a program to go and attend. Because you never know the effect it can have on your heart. So be on the lookout for the program called Meaningful Prayer with our brother Abdul Nasir Jangda, inshallah ta'ala, which is an amazing brother. He was born and raised here in Texas. When he was young, he memorized the Quran, and then he finished his high school, and then he went and did a alim course in Pakistan. And his English is perfect. And mashallah, his teaching style is great. So I encourage everyone to benefit from that, inshallah ta'ala. So we say, the person who has khushu' is the one who recognizes every single thing that he says and he does in salah. From the beginning of salah, all the way to the end. With that, you can't have any type of whispers. If you're constantly conscious of what you're saying, you won't have any bad ideas. And this is the spirit of salah. This is real salah. And this is exactly what's intended from it. And this is what the servant will have in his books. In the day of judgment, the salah that will be fully recognized as this is the salah that Allah wants is this complete salah. Now, this might make somebody feel despair and say, man, I never have that. So why am I bothering? Why should I even do salah? I never in my life, I've been praying for 50 years. I never reached this state. So I should just quit? No. Salah that does not have full khushu', because each one of us has some part of khushu', without a doubt. But the description that we mentioned earlier is complete khushu'. And that's why the person who has it will be successful, guaranteed. Because he got that complete humbleness. It's so salah that does not have complete khushu', and the heart is not conscious in that salah, the person will be rewarded for it. And it will suffice him. Because you have to remember, Allah has rights over us. One of his rights is that we do salah. So, even if salah does not have khushu', we must perform salah. So khushu' makes it more rewarding. Khushu' makes it more beneficial for us in this life and in the next. But we must perform salah. And the reward that you'll get is the more you recognize, the more you appreciate, the more you feel in your salah, the more reward you will get, inshaAllah ta'ala. The next description, so now we've covered what? They're believers, number one, it's a must. And they are having the state of khushu' in their salah. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ اللَّغْو is speech that has no benefit and no good in it. There, it's not good, it's just no good. مُعْرِضُونَ, it means they stay away from it, they act like they are far above it. And if they listen to it or they hear it, they just pass by quickly. Now, when we're talking about people who are staying away from ill speech or non-beneficial talk, how about talk that has harm in it? Forbidden talk, which is to speak ill about others, to slander them, to backbite them, to speak about their family and their lineage, to speak about their wives and their mothers, to speak about how they look and how they act. That's completely forbidden. That's not even low. That's beyond low. That's a major crime. So if the believers were successful, stay away from non-beneficial speech, for sure they stay away from harmful speech, which is haram speech. And the Shaykh says here, if the servant, if the son of Adam, has control over his tongue, and he guards it, except with things that are beneficial, so you keep your mouth closed, except when there is benefit. For example, someone who's teaching others, he's going to speak a lot to explain the material. You speaking to your father wants to spend time with you. And you're like, no, the Shaykh says, I shouldn't speak. And you just, your father's not going to feel good. You're going to upset your father, or your mother, or your husband, or your wife. So certain occasions, speech becomes mandatory. You must speak. It's not up to you to say, I don't feel like speaking now. That's not up to you. But what we're speaking about is your choice of speech, your choice of words. Is it beneficial? Is it harmful? Or does it have no benefit? Because when you have control over your tongue, you have control of all your affair. And this is the advice that the Messenger ﷺ gave to one of his companions. We spoke about this companion before. Remember when we said the dua a few weeks ago? There's a companion, the Prophet ﷺ told him, I love you so and so. Don't leave after every salah to say, oh Allah, help me to remember you, to be thankful to you, and to worship you in the proper way. Who is that companion? What's his name? Mu'adh. His name is Mu'adh ibn Jabal. So another occasion, the Prophet ﷺ gave him a set of advice, a long list. And then he told him, after he concluded, he says, should I tell you something that will make you control all of that? Will make you grasp all of that? He's like, yes. And the Prophet ﷺ held his own tongue. This is called visual education. You use visual tools so the story sticks in the brain. You don't forget it. So the Prophet ﷺ held his tongue, stuck it out and held it. And he says, كُفَّ عَلَيْكَ هَذَا. Keep this in check. Guard your tongue. And if you do that, you'll have success. So the believers, one of their beautiful characteristics is that they control and protect their tongues from laghu, from non-beneficial speech, and from everything that is forbidden. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. They perform zakah, which means they give the right of their wealth, they purify their wealth, no matter what type of wealth they have. By doing so, they're purifying themselves from terrible and nasty manners, because one of the worst manners is to be stingy and miserly. So when you give money, what are you doing? You're cleaning yourself from being stingy. If I'm stingy, how do I solve the problem? I give. So that's what zakah does to the individual's characteristic. Even though you're purifying your wealth and you're giving part of your wealth to the needy, as Allah Azza wa Jal explains where zakah is to be due and what zakah is. And then of course zakah is a big subject, because some people think they can give zakah every single day. Zakah is something, a set amount, 2.5% of all of your wealth that you have had for one full lunar year that has exceeded a certain amount. So you give that once a year. You don't give it multiple times. But there is something called sadaqah, which is general charity, that you can give all the time. So we should also look into that. Are we keeping the zakah? So these believers, they are doing great in worshipping their Creator. How are they doing so? By having khushu' in their salah, having humbleness in their salah. And they are doing great towards the creation by giving their charity and giving their zakah. Then Allah Azza wa Jal moves on to another characteristic, which is a great one. And here, by the way, he speaks about this in 3 verses, which is they protect their private parts. They protect their private parts from fornication and adultery. And the only way you can protect it completely is by preventing yourself from anything that calls you to that, to adultery and fornication, like looking at unlawful things, touching unlawful things, and things of that sort. So they protect their private parts from everyone except the ones that Allah has made lawful for them, their spouses. That's the only thing that is lawful for them. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says, so whoever does and exceeds what Allah Azza wa Jal had made lawful, and he goes to that which is forbidden, then these people are transgressors. We ask Allah to protect us from transgressing against His limits. What's amazing is, you notice Allah mentioned this aspect in 3 verses. We live in at a time where pornography is widespread, where, you know, all types of indecent behavior is widespread, and people are calling it entertainment. And we're all under attack. You know, we're all under attack. It's wherever you look, it's all around you. So we have to work extremely hard to protect ourselves from this by staying away from danger and staying away from harm's way. Whenever we know that we have a problem in a certain situation or a certain place, we should stay away from it to the best of our ability. And we should take advantage of that which Allah has made lawful for us, which is our spouses. Then Allah Azza wa Jal describes and He says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ, which means they upkeep their promises, they protect it, and they perform what they promise to perform. And this is general in everything that is a trust, whether it's a trust from Allah Azza wa Jal to you, or a trust from the servants of Allah and His creation. So everything that Allah has made an obligation is called an amana. Salah is an amana. Zakah is an amana. Siyam is an amana. Salah, prayer. Zakah, your charity. Fasting. That's all amanat. Hajj is an amana. Taking care of your family is an amana. It's a trust. Taking care of the needy is a trust, is an amana. Being a good Muslim is an amana. Everything Allah has commanded is an amana. It becomes a trust. So again, when we are judging ourselves, are we keeping all these trusts? Because we've been entrusted. Are we keeping them or not? And also the trusts of human beings. Just like when someone leaves a trust with you. He's like, here brother, I have $1,000. I don't have a bank account. I want you to keep it. I'm traveling. I'm going to come back inshallah. Do you keep it or not? Now this might be wealth, but it could be secrets as well. I come to my brother and I say, look, I have a secret and I need to get it off my chest. But can you please safeguard this secret? And, you know, that's an amana, that's a trust. What do we do when someone entrusts us with a secret? Do we go and publish it in the LA Times? Or go on a website and tell the whole world about it? Guess what the brother did? Guess what the sister did? You know, that's an amana, that's a trust. Now, it's funny when we say it like this, but isn't that what so many people do? You know, something that happens in close proximity. Why tell the whole world about it? Islam is against scandals. This is extremely forbidden in Islam. We do not enjoy it when other people do things that are wrong. Never can you celebrate that. In fact, there is a tradition that says, whenever you make fun of your brother for sinning, Allah can protect him from that sin and you will fall into it. And this happens so many times. And you see this in other traditions. This is not to make something that's not known known. But they have a study done that the most outspoken people against fornication, adultery, homosexuality, and all these illicit things are certain people in churches, you know, pastors and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden you find out what? A big scandal. The same person that's making fun of the ones who have shortcomings and have sins and have deficiencies himself falls into these sins and deficiencies. So if someone is sinful, they are sick spiritually. If someone is sick, do you laugh at them?
No.
If someone has a heart disease, do you say, ha, 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 look, he's got heart disease. Is that allowed? No. Does it make any sense? It doesn't. So someone who has a spiritual disease, someone who is, you know, falling in temptation, don't make fun of them. Help them out. Get them out of the nastiness that they're in. Someone is sick with a heart condition, you take them to the hospital, right? Likewise. So we don't make fun of others. Well, I don't know why we diverted to this, but they are protecting of people's amanats when someone gives you a trust. Because sometimes that's what it is. The trust is, someone is like, brother, I have a problem at home. And he mentions to you what the problem is. This is a private matter. Don't go and speak about it to the whole world. And of course, sisters know this very well as well, because unfortunately, sometimes we intend well, but we can make a huge mistake and we can break up families by what? Our tongues. Why? Because we did not protect the amana, we did not protect the trust. So we should be very careful. That's why the Prophet ﷺ says, if you control your tongue, you hold that tongue, then you'll protect everything else. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ They constantly and consistently pray on time, and they pray the way it's supposed to be prayed, with its pillars and its obligations. So Allah Azza wa Jal in the beginning, He praised them for having khushu'. And then He praised them for what? For keeping it consistent and being regular upon it. Because you will not be successful if you have one but don't have the other. Because somebody might have khushu' today. He's like, I have khushu' in Salat al-Fajr. Alhamdulillah. I had great khushu'. Okay, what about the rest? He's like, tomorrow I'll have Khashar and Fajr again. And that's what happens. Some people are, their heart is very spiritual. That happens. So they pray one time and it's like, wow, this guy is amazing. But you must keep your salah. It's not sufficient just to have khushur. So you have to have both of these things. So whoever performs salah with no khushur, or whoever has khushur, but he does not perform salah consistently, then he is deficient. He's deficient. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, أُولَٰئِكَ, all of those that have these characteristics, they're the ones who will have the highest of paradise because they have these beautiful characteristics and they have these nice manners and beautiful actions. So may Allah Azza wa Jal make us amongst these people who will reside in paradise forever, eternally, inshaAllah. And we ask Him to assist us to be true believers and then to be believers who have these beautiful characteristics, and to allow us to, first of all, have khushu' in our salah. That's a dua. Oh Allah, grant me khushu' in salah. Allahumma arzuqna al-khushu'a fi salah. That's one. Allahumma ij'alna min al-mu'minina haqqa. Oh Allah, make us amongst the true believers. Right? We said a few attributes right here, so let's make dua for these attributes. So Allahumma ij'alna min al-mu'minina haqqa, make us from the true believers. Allahumma ij'alna khashi'ina fi salah, grant us the ability to have khushu' in our salah. Allahumma ij'alna mu'ridina 'anil laghw, O Allah, protect us from evil and non-beneficial speech. Allahumma ij'alna min al-hafidhina li furujihim illa 'ala ma abahta lahum, O Allah, make us from those who protect our private parts except for those that are lawful for us, from our spouses. Allahumma ij'alna li amanatina wa ahdina ra'een. O Allah, make us upkeep and be trustworthy and be honest and to keep our promises and our trusts. Waj'alna 'ala salatina muhafidhin. Keep us steadfast on our prayers. Waj'alna min al-warithin alladhina yarithuna al-firdaws. And O Allah, make us from those who inherit paradise. I didn't tell you there was a problem in the conference. Who came to the conference? Here, Brother Ahmed came. And another brother, right? At least. And Zahid as well came. We had a few, alhamdulillah, from our masjid. The brother Brandon from Reseda, he came. And he was flying. He was so happy. You know, that new Muslim I was telling you about. The problem in the conference was that some of the speakers were not able to make it. One of them is Sheikh Walid Basuni. His son has leukemia. So he was taken to the hospital, so he couldn't make it. So the organizers of the conference, they're stuck. This is one of the main speakers. So they tried to reshuffle the speakers, but they still have one empty spot. It's 15 minutes. And they don't know what to do with it. So some of them know me. So they came and they're like, we have an idea. We have a problem. We want you to speak. Now, usually in a conference, people prepare ahead of time. And they write their notes and stuff like that. Nothing happens on the spot, right? So they said, brother, you have to do it. I said, what's my options? They're like, you have no option. You have to do it. So I made mashwara with my mother. I consulted with my mom and my teachers that were there. And they all said, you have to do it. So I really had no option. So alhamdulillah, the blessing was, they gave me a speech that does not need a lot of speech. Because they selected the topic of non-beneficial speech. Idle talk. They told me speak about that. So alhamdulillah, I was able to speak about it, which is the second characteristic here, or third, depending on how you count. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. So I mentioned a hadith, and I just remembered it. The reason I'm telling you the story, I don't want you to remember that I gave a speech. I want you to remember the hadith that I mentioned. Okay? The hadith was mentioned to us by our Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this hadith includes two of the characteristics we mentioned today. The Prophet ﷺ, And whenever we say his name, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we should say, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Which means in English, oh Allah, raise his rank, bless him, give him mercy. That's what we say whenever we mention one of the Prophet's names. This is proper etiquette. By the way, some of you are like, Ahmed, you've said this before, we've heard this before. But we have our brother Tahir here, maybe you haven't heard this before, so this is for the benefit of everyone. And we have a statement in the Quran that says, remind, for indeed the reminder benefits the believers. So believers are never sick and tired of learning information that they've learned before. So that's why you see the brothers, I mentioned something and they're enjoying it. Even though some of these guys have been hearing it for years. But they're like, yeah, keep it coming. Because we need the reminder, because we forget.
Reminders,
that's right. So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever guarantees for me what's in between his two jaws, what's in between your jaws? This jaw and this jaw. What's in between here?
Tongue.
The tongue. Whoever controls for me what's in between his two jaws and one, what's in between his two thighs. What's in between your two thighs?
Private parts.
Whoever guarantees these things, protects these things, guards these two things, he said, I guarantee for him paradise. Simple, ain't it? Keep your tongue in check, keep your private parts in check, and you'll have a check to go to paradise. Don't we all want that? We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us the ability to protect our tongues, to guard them, except from things that are lawful and beneficial, and to also protect our private parts except for things that are lawful and beneficial. Another thing that I mentioned, which was given to me by one of my teachers, and I told you about my teacher before, he's an American. He became Muslim 40 years ago. He's one of my main teachers from New York, representing from New York.
His name?
He's not famous. So you can't look him up, like he, but anyway, he told me, you know, he's amazed. He meets a lot of young people and he's like, mashallah, these young people have so many ideas, they're so intelligent, but they just want to talk. He says, but I wish they would know that in Islamic tradition it's praiseworthy to be silent. So much so that one of the scholars of the past wrote a full book and he named it Kitab al-Samt. What does that mean, Ghassan? Al-Samt.
Not talking.
The book of silence. The book's title is Silence. It's 600 pages. You know what he did? He collected all the verses in the Quran and all the narrations from the Prophet ﷺ and the wise people that speak about the virtues of silence. So if we reflect over that, it's very praiseworthy to be silent. We don't need to speak all the time. If we control our tongues, we'll have great things, inshallah. We'll have a place in paradise. We'll be successful as Allah Azza wa Jal described. And then the Prophet ﷺ also gave a very beautiful statement where he says, it's a sign of the person's goodness in Islam that he leaves off things that do not concern him. Something doesn't concern me, I don't need to speak about it, I don't need to hear about it. Leave it alone. And that's a sign of good Islam. Anyway, I wanted to close with these things. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us successful, to make us believers, and to make us have the characteristics of the believers. Having true faith, keeping our salah, and having khushu' in our salah, staying away from idle talk that doesn't bring any benefit, giving the zakah and the poor their due and their rights, only having relations with our lawful spouses, giving our trusts and giving our promises and keeping them. And we ask him finally to grant us paradise. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. We ask Allah to conclude this gathering, and it is something very beneficial. Again, this is from the manners. The Prophet ﷺ says that any gathering where Allah's name is not mentioned and the Prophet ﷺ, people don't give salah and salam upon him. Some of you call it durood, which means to say, oh Allah, have mercy on him, and oh Allah, have blessings upon him. He says that gathering will be a source of agony for these people in the Day of Judgment. So just reflect. How many times do we sit with our friends and our families and our relatives and we don't mention Allah and we don't speak about His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Those gatherings are going to be held against us. So try it. It's a good practice, inshallah. Remember that whenever you're in a gathering, mention Allah's name. Remind everyone about Allah, even if it's something for a few minutes. And say, As-salaam wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, Nabiyyina Muhammad. And be consistent in that. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Oh Allah, we praise You. And You are far above any imperfection. And we thank You. And we seek forgiveness from You. And we repent to You. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows this. Amen.